The mayor, John Holvern from the Mayor Kings is the podcast, joins us. Johnny, how you doing, man?
I'm doing outstanding. Good to hear your voice again.
So tell me about the Kings. Obviously, Order fans saw them up close and personal, a seven-game series. You know, the Kings, they got a lot of things going for them. Do you think like a DeBrincat or a Fiala, does either one of those guys make sense from your standpoint for L.A.?
Well, in the short term, someone like DeBrincat makes sense because the Kings need to add offense. But in terms of what they're trying to accomplish big picture, no, I don't think that that's a trade that they're looking to make. And the reason for that quite simply boils down to this. There are kind of three key things that they want to address in the offseason. They want to address their defense, add somebody in the top four, probably on the left side most likely. That's where they're thin versus the right side where they have about eight guys fighting for essentially three starting jobs. They want to add a forward. I mean, everybody wants to add a forward, right? A top six forward. But really, they need a very specific type of player. They want to add a left wing that can play on the top line with Kempe and Kopitar. They feel they have a second line that's kind of settled in there. The third line, we'll call it the kid line, they feel is kind of settled there. And they're going to want to add some muscle. They're going to want to add some toughness. And whether that means they end up bringing back Brendan Lemieux or more than likely going after somebody else. You mentioned Kevin Fiala. Maybe they look at a Nick Delorier coming back into the LA Kings organization. So they have the assets, as you mentioned at the onset, but most likely they'll have to trade for one of the positions and then try to do somebody else through free agency. And given the fact that they want to go young with their defensemen, and it's hard to find a young defenseman in free agency, they more than likely will have to use their assets to make a trade to fill the defensive hole and then probably have to go free agency if they're looking to do something with the top six forward, unless, of course, it's just something for a cap space and ends up being a hockey trade, so to speak, which would, of course, would be probably the fallback plan.
Always good talk with the mayor, John Holvern, all things LA Kings. So who are their top four defensemen?
Well, right, Mikey Anderson and Drew Doughty would be your top pairing, and some people would point to Mikey Anderson and say, look, that's not really, you know, when you look back to the 2012-2014 Cup era, he would not be the prototypical, you know, top pairing defenseman that would play with someone like Drew Doughty, but the two of them play very well together. Drew especially likes playing with him, and as we've seen with Kopitar back in the day, even with Iafallo, when one of your star players really enjoys playing with somebody, that's more than likely who he's going to play with. Keep that guy happy, and also they're an effective pair. And on the second pairing, I think this is really where there are a lot of moving pieces for the Kings. If you go offensively and you retain someone like a Sean Durzi, you know, he was one of the few players to provide some offense from the blue line for them this year. You could see him on a second pair with the right guy that would right meaning correct, with the correct player on the left side. Otherwise, you're looking at most likely Matt Roy on the right side, who is more of a stay-at-home defenseman, and if they have to try to find some offense somewhere along the left side, you know, a guy like Brant Clark, their number one pick from last summer, he's going to get a long look in camp, and it would be exciting for the organization if he was able to make the team out of camp, but you probably wouldn't put him into a top four role as a teenager trying to break into the NHL. He's not Drew Doughty, so patience would be the key word with a guy like Brant Clark.
So where does Sean Walker fit into this whole mess between Durzi and Roy and Roy and, of course, the aforementioned Drew Doughty?
Yeah, you know, Sean Walker is kind of the X factor, defensively speaking, right now. When you go down the right side, you have Doughty, who's the clear-cut number one on the right side. Then you have Durzi. You have Helga Grans coming. You have Brock Faber, who will be in college this year. You have Sean Walker. You have a number of different players down the right-hand side. We saw Jordan Spence last year get some time there as well. So a lot of options, and Sean Walker really is a question mark right now. Basically has lost two full seasons almost due to injury, two separate injuries. One injury last year in the shortened season, and then this year out for pretty much the whole season. So where Sean Walker fits in, you know, if he comes back and he's healthy and he can provide offense, they originally had him slotted in as the third pairing defenseman on the right side behind Doughty and Roy. But, you know, a lot of things have changed over the last 18 to 24 months. So how healthy is he is really the big question coming into training camp. Where does he fit in, and is he going to be 100% and ready to go? And what type of minutes can you count on him to play right out of the gate? So the defense right now is really a work in progress, which is a stark difference compared to the forward group, where pretty much everything is slotted in where it's going to be come opening night in October.
John Holvern joins us discussing the LA Kings. Cal Peterson's contract kicks in $5 million this season. Jonathan Quick has 1 year left at 5.8. $1 million. Now, I know that's a lot of money in goaltending, but it's only for 1 year. And Quick had a really good season last year. You know, I think maybe they were hoping that Pettersson would take a step. But with so many teams looking for goaltending, do you think the Kings would consider moving Quick out this summer to free up cap space? Or would they wait and kind of see how the season goes and they don't want to put everything on Pettersson just yet?
I think more of the latter is probably where their head would be right now. I mean, first of all, you just have to start with the emotional reality of trying to make that deal. When GM Rob Blake took over, and you start to see in December of 2018, when now he was turning the page and moving forward and was going to go with the rebuild, or, you know, whatever you want to call it here in Los Angeles, and players like Jake Muzzin and Jeff Carter and some of those guys were going to be dealt out, the idea was to always keep the core four, was to keep Anze Kopitar, Drew Doughty, Jonathan Quick, and Dustin Brown. And they had earned the right, if you will, to finish their careers, NHL careers, as members of the LA Kings. And Dustin Brown, obviously the first one to go. Jonathan Quick, 1 year left on his deal. If Quick wanted to go somewhere, and first of all, why would he? But if Quick wanted to go somewhere, it would make a move like that a little bit easier. But I think really, if you were going to trade a guy like Jonathan Quick, to win, the window to do that was a couple of years ago. And look, after the season that he had last year and the fact that Cal Pettersson did not take over the number one spot, I think you're really looking at Jonathan Quick going in this year as an insurance plan. You need Cal Pettersson to be the starter. It's time for that change to happen. It was time last season, but unfortunately it didn't happen. So you're about a year behind, and now the clock is kind of ticking, because like you mentioned, the bigger dollars are ticking in there on Cal Pettersson. They knew what they did, what they were doing when they signed Pettersson to the bigger deal. They knew that this season that Quick was going to ride out the last year of his contract, and they knew they were going to have a lot of money tied up in goaltending. So they're going to have to sort of look beyond the goaltending position and try to get creative on the salary cap, you know, up and down the rest of the roster. But they're pretty much set in goal. I would find it rather surprising if 32 was moved out of Los Angeles this summer.
What about Quinton Byfield? You know, continuing to develop, where do you think he is as far as taking more responsibility on after what we saw in the playoffs against the Oilers?
Well, I would say this. I would say that it's two different stories. If you talk to fans, or if you read comments on Twitter and social media, you know, it's going to run the gamut from, you know, he's an epic failure and they should trade him now, to he's never going to develop. I mean, I guess those are probably the same things, but they want more and they want more immediately. And we live in this world where everybody wants everything instantaneously, especially in the world of hockey and with prospects. And very few prospects, as you know, come directly out of the draft and make an immediate impact in the NHL. And the ones that do, we remember them forever. Here in Los Angeles, we remember Drew Doughty and what he did coming into the league as a teenager. You know, we remember what Teemu Selanne did with Winnipeg and scoring those goals. You know, these are epic stories that end up being told. A guy like Jack Hughes, I mean, think about how highly he was rated and everybody talking about Jack Hughes, and look what he did early in his career. You know, Kaapo Kakko. You can go on and down the list of guys that are, they come in with a lot of fanfare and it takes them a little while to get going. And the Kings have seen that with Adrian Kempe. It took, you know, maybe you could say 5 or 6 years for him to really reach his potential. You're hoping that it doesn't take that long with a guy like Quinton Byfield. At the same time, though, it is important to pump the brakes and have that word that everybody hates, but have that patience that's needed. This is a kid that, you know, he could have been in the Ontario Hockey League season before last, but he was able to turn pro because of the pandemic. The OHL was closed down. It's probably the best thing that happened to him long term, because he was able to spend a year in the American League and play some games down there. And, you know, this year he came in, he played third line minutes with the LA Kings. You'd love to see him continue to develop down on that third line. He's not looking to take over for Phil Deneau or Anze Kopitar anytime soon. And really, that's one of the reasons that they signed Phil Deneau. It's kind of funny. Now, nobody questions the signing of Phil Deneau after the fantastic season that he had last year, where he really was the MVP of the LA Kings. But if you just rewind the clock 12 months ago, when the LA Kings signed Phil Deneau as a free agent and gave him 6 years and all that money, there were a lot of people up in arms that said what a terrible move that was and how the Kings overpaid. But they had a plan, and that was to go out and buy insurance on Quinton Byfield. And that's really what Phil Deneau was. He was insurance. Let him keep, you know, one of those top two center positions until Byfield is ready. And if it takes a little bit longer than maybe some fans and other people around the league might want or expect, that's okay. When Byfield's ready, he can step up and he can steal one of those spots from Anze Kopitar or Phil Deneau.
Last one for you, John. What's your best guess on what the contract for Kempe is going to look like? And then B, that, you know, the Kings jumped in big on Danault in free agency. Do you see them going after anybody specific this year in free agency?
Yeah, I think the Kempe contract is probably 5 years, around $5 million is probably what you're looking for. Of course, if you're his agent, you want to push that up to closer to six probably. One thing you have to give GM Rob Blake a lot of credit for is if you look at the contracts, and I'm not talking necessarily the free agent contract for Danault, but if you look at the money that he and the term that he has re-signed a lot of his RFAs to over the last couple of years, they really have been more team-friendly deals. And so I think the Kings are hopeful that trend can continue. You keep the term and money down. If Kempe's camp is looking for a lot more than that, I don't think the Kings are going to be willing to sign him to a big money long-term deal coming off of 1 year. You want to see more consistency, so you might be able to get him on a bridge deal and then have to readdress this situation, you know, possibly in 2 years. But again, that's not really what the Kings are looking for. They're looking for cap certainty right now. On mayorsmanner.com, we did a cap projection with plugging in all the articles, plugging in all the contracts for the RFAs of guys they need to sign, like Mikey Anderson and Kempe and some of these other guys. And when you put all that money in there, the Kings have about $8 million left. So to answer your other question, yes, they do plan on going out in free agency and spending some money to add, like I mentioned earlier, probably at the forward position if they trade for a defenseman. So what can they get for that $7 to $8 million? Well, it's probably not going to be Johnny Gaudreau. The only way you're going to get a guy like Philip Forsberg would probably be on some sort of a sweetheart deal. He would really have to want to play for Victor Arvidsson because the market is going to dictate which players are available to the Kings in free agency this summer. But they definitely are looking to add goals because they believe they need goals, especially if they want to beat teams like Edmonton in the Western Conference and more specifically the Pacific Division.
John, always good to catch up with you, man. I appreciate it. We will talk to you again soon.
Look forward to it. Have a great day.